Welcome to the Money Hour with host Tina Mitchell and co-host Keelan Harvey. Tina Mitchell, MLO 145420, and Keelan Harvey, MLO 1330075, are licensed loan originators with Highlands Residential Mortgage Limited, NMLS 134871. The views expressed by the speakers on the following program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views of Highlands Residential Mortgage Limited, nor are they necessarily endorsed by Highlands Residential Mortgage Limited. Now, in the studio, local mortgage experts Tina Mitchell and Keelan Harvey.
Welcome to Money Hour on 1150 AM KKNW, the Friday, June 5th virtual show. Because of COVID-19, our show is temporarily moved virtually, but you can listen to us in podcast. And of course, you can always catch us on air at 3 p.m. on Saturday with a rebroadcast on Sunday at 8 a.m. I am your host, Tina Mitchell.
And I'm your co-host, Keelan Harvey.
Bringing in expert advice and inside knowledge on today's events in our local economy and how it can affect your money. If you're hearing the show at a different time or day, you are listening to a rebroadcast, but we're here to connect you with the guests that we have on the show. You can call the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. And our lineup for today's show, we're going to be having a panel conversation today with both of our guests on the show. And it'll be with Gina Medea with Windermere and also with Pia Larson from Fingerprint Marketing. And then we'll have a separate conversation talking with Gina from Windermere, buying and selling real estate in the time of COVID-19 and what you need to know. Then we'll have a conversation, our last segment, with Pia Larson, again, of Fingerprint Marketing, what your website needs now to attract and convert business. Great information and great guests in studio today. For more information on any topic discussed or again to connect with our guests, you can call the show at 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. And as we start out with each week, Keelan, you want to start out with a little money chat?
Money chat. Love it.
Money. Money.
What do you got today, Keelan?
Well, I hate to harp on me buying a house, but I never get to talk about my own deals. And it got a little deeper, and I think it's a great opportunity to illustrate the process because we never really get to do that. You know, we don't talk about specific deals for confidentiality reasons, but it's my deal, so I can talk about it. So I want to talk about it a little bit. So recapping, we offered full price, managed to negotiate 10,000 seller credits. That means that I'll have $10,000 more in my pocket as opposed to the $50 a month. And I did a mortgage buyout. You can have mortgage insurance on a monthly if you'd like. You can split it or you can buy it out. You can also do lender paid, but lender paid usually dings you in pricing. So I chose to do a buyout for myself and bring cash forward, especially considering that I'm getting a seller credit that's going to cover basically the majority of that. And then the update is I got an inspection done and the house is in beautiful shape. It's a beautiful home, but house is settled. So the house settled a little bit, and in the inspection, the concrete cracked, and the patio is leaning towards the house a little bit. So they've done a great job of caulking and making sure there's no damage with the inspector, but eventually it's going to be an issue. So what did we do? We actually were nice about it and said, hey, can you fix it? She went and got some bids, and then she came back with 3,000 more in seller credits. So now I have 13,000 in seller credits, which I'm really excited about, which is more money in my family's pocket. And Angela is already busy buying every piece of furniture under the sun right now, my other half. So I can use every dollar I can get. So very exciting. We closed on the 18th. We have more seller credits to use. That's more money in my pocket. I'm never going to have mortgage insurance again. I have a ridiculously low rate. Thank you. The one bright side of COVID, rates are extremely low. I could purchase more house. My payments are low. And I am a pretty happy dude at this point. We're about to be out of underwriting shortly. And everything is working amazingly. So just an update on kind of where I am and how people could use that for their own deals.
I love that, Keelan. And yeah, congratulations again. And yeah, the seller credits are awesome. that you're going with your traditional conventional at Keelan is maximum 3% of the purchase price is what you can get in credit. So fortunately, Keelan at 3% didn't go over that with the amount of work that needed to be done on the property. And I'm so happy for the two of you. I always tell people, if you're doing a home inspection, not a pre, everybody should do one. But if it's not a pre-inspection and you're waiting, that's something you've got to try not to get too emotionally connected, because you never know what's going to come up on there. So happy for you. And you know that the team, we're all going to wait for our private invite over to the house. So great news, Keelan. Oh,
it's party time, Tina, for sure.
I have no doubt. All right. So I thought I'd talk a little bit on the mortgage side. The Mortgage Banker Association, MBA, released their mortgage application data for last week, showing that overall application volume was down 4% from the previous week. Purchases were up for the seventh straight week, growing by a solid 5%. On a year-over-year basis, purchase applications are up 18% higher, which is quite a comeback from the beginning, down 35% year-over-year in April. Now, refinances were down 9%, but are still 137% year-over-year. My golly. Now, refinances still make up the majority of applications, totaling less than 60%. This is incredible that purchases represent 40% of all mortgage applications in the middle of a pandemic. We have to add that in there. Mortgage interest rates are 7/8% lower from a year ago on a $500,000 loan with a 5% down payment. You can increase your buying power by $40,000 from a year ago. On a $500,000 loan with a 20% down payment, you have increased your buying power by about $60,000. So here's a call to action. If you're listening to our show on podcast, listening to us on air, or you're watching our now Facebook live show, now is the time to get out there into the market and find your first-time home, your vacation property, your investment property, or take out some cash with the low interest rates by doing a refinance to pull cash out, home improvements, pay off higher debt that are costing you more than the cost of the low interest rate, or to invest in other assets that are going to have a higher return than the cost of mortgage interest rates. Here's a call to action for Keelan and I in the arena that we're in, which is the mortgage business. The Fed has bought around $700 billion in mortgage-backed securities since mid-March, which is a huge number. They bought another $4.5 billion just yesterday. The Fed buying has kept the interest rates low during this volatile time. So if it weren't for the Fed's purchasing back mortgage-backed securities, we would not be seeing interest rates under 3%. And I'm not quoting interest rates. It's based on a lot of qualifying factors. But yes, you can get under 3% in certain situations on a 30-year fixed conventional loan. On the housing front, CoreLogic released their home price index appreciation report for April, showing that home prices rose 1.4% from March to April. On a year-over-year basis, home prices were at 5.4%, up from 4.5% in the previous report. Washington is up 5.7%. According to the National Association of Realtors, 65% of people who attended an open house within the last year would do so now without hesitation. This speaks to buyers getting a bit bolder and may support demand. The Mortgage Bankers Association reported that the total number of loans now in forbearance is 8.46% as May 24th. Those of our regular listeners know I've talked a lot about forbearance and what's kind of going on with there, but that's the only thing I wanted to throw in today. There were 1.877 million individuals who filed for unemployment benefits for the first time last week, which was in line with estimates. Interesting, continuing claims, which measures people continuing to receive benefits, increased by 650K to 21.5 million. This means more individuals continue to receive benefits. Quite a change from the 4 million left in the previous report because people came back to work. Now, a reason for this is likely that many are making more than unemployment than they were when they were working. We have actually seen estimates that show 40% of workers are making more, some almost double, on their unemployment benefits. So there's no incentive to return back to work. Now, factoring in the amount of new claims, continuing claims in labor force, we estimate that there will be a 17.7% unemployment rate currently. Now, when you're trying to estimate how many new jobs that the PPP has temporarily created, we think that the unemployment rate could be closer to about 20% without it. and what's happening. Love hearing everything that's going on with you, Keelan, and Angela, and your sweet little girl, London. There's some great stuff happening in the market. And if we're wrapping up the money chat here, I just want to, again, just give a call to action. If it makes sense for you to get into the market, it's a great time to do so. I hope that each of you are being safe and taking some time to reflect with everything that's happening right now, because it is definitely sometimes that, I don't know about you, but I would imagine that none of us could have ever in a zillion years predicted that we're going to be living through not just a pandemic, but that everything that's going on with the rioting as well. It's just a little bit crazy. So that's your money chat. Coming up next on the Money Hour, panel conversation with our guests, Gina Medea with Windermere and Kate Larson of Fingerprint Marketing, right here at 1150 AMKKNW.
Are you a small business owner or CMO that's overwhelmed with all the ways to market your business that actually result in qualified leads? Do you struggle to come up with a strong brand message, positioning statement, or content that speaks directly to your perfect prospect? When someone Googles your business, are you found on page 2 or 3, which means no one is calling or coming to your website? Pia Larson with Fingerprint Marketing is your chief imagination officer to help you combine business strategy, brand messaging, SEO best practices, and beautiful web design that result in a strong online presence that will make all prospects stop their scroll and ask to do business with you. We have a highly vetted team of experts who will take you from beautiful brand to steady stream of leads and a full pipeline of business. You'll only have 7 seconds to capture your prospect's attention online in a world of noise. Do you know what to do to stand out and compete for attention and market share? Let us help you create a unique fingerprint online while walking you through a proven step-by-step process of what's working online in digital marketing.
To maximize your online presence, reach out to Pia Larson at fingerprintmarketing.com.
You're listening to The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, and co-host, Keelan Harvey, on Alternative Talk AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage experts, Tina Mitchell and Keelan Harvey.
You are listening to The Money Hour on 1150 AM KKNW, the Friday, June 5th virtual show. Because of COVID-19, our show is temporarily moved virtually. You can listen to us on podcast. You can also catch us on air at Saturday at 3 p.m. with a rebroadcast on Sunday at 8 a.m. I am your host, Tina Mitchell.
And I'm your co-host, Keelan Harvey.
It is a great day to talk about money, and that's what the show is all about. How to make money, save money, so you can have a better quality of life for you and your family. If you're hearing our show at a different time or day, you are listening to a rebroadcast, but we are here to answer any questions, also to connect you with the guests that we have on the show. Please call the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. And in studio right now, we have a panel conversation with our guests that have patiently been waiting right here on our Facebook Live show. Gina Medea, who's been in studio a few times with us, she's with Windermere Real Estate, and Pia Larson, first time guest on our show of Fingerprint Marketing, right here at 1150 AM, KKNW.
So Gina, I think
and
we'll start
I'm
sorry.
I was going to say welcome to both of our lady guests today. Go ahead, Keelan.
I'll just jump right in there, Tina. Just step all over your toes. my fault. So let's start with you, Gina. How is this current environment affecting you and your business with? I know it started with COVID, which a lot of changes in rules. That was really interesting. And who would have thought, you know, rioting, I mean, it's a tragedy what happened, and the mayhem to follow has been insane as well. So how has this affected your business?
Great question. And I think you're right. I don't think anybody could have anticipated the scope and impact that this pandemic would have on our personal lives, much less our businesses. And I think at the beginning, it was certainly very scary because we were initially deemed as non-essential, which brought my business and I'm sure my colleagues in the industry's businesses to a screeching halt. But fortunately, we were shortly thereafter reclassified as essential and were able to engage in real estate activities, but with some pretty strict parameters. So we found our way through. And now, as Tina sort of mentioned in her Money Minute recap, the market is quite active, and I'm happy to be able to be a part of it and assist clients with their needs.
Keelan, we're going to Pia. So Pia, how about you? How are things? Are you dealing with the current environment in your line of work?
Well, I haven't come up for air since March 23rd because we are a virtual team, so we weren't really affected. We didn't have a storefront or anything, but we do have a large amount of clients who needed to pivot immediately. So getting messages about how they're handling COVID with their business online, and then also just brainstorming, you know, how can they change their business to continue to pay their employees, their team, how can they market in a different direction? So I've been working 7 days a week since then. So I'm blessed and I'm grateful. First of all, for my family's health, but also that I can kind of just jump in and help other businesses where they need me most.
Wonderful, Pia. Thank you so much. So yeah, sometimes on the Facebook Live, I know if you're watching this, there was a little bit of an audio thing there. It's a fun dynamic to just roll with the punches, whatever those punches happen to be. So Gina, let's go and talk about, you know, how you see yourself in the environment in real estate moving forward when we get back to normal might be.
Well, you know, I think what that new normal looks like will kind of define how I operate in that environment. And certainly, you know, if this pandemic has taught me anything and probably any of us anything, it's the importance of the need to adapt, right? And thrive despite the circumstances that might otherwise throw a challenge in your face. So, you know, I would say that I'll tell you this, in the new normal, I will be very grateful when our opportunity to host personal open houses come back, because this whole virtual open house thing is a bit of a challenge and not really ideal. So I hope that the new normal doesn't include that. And if so, I better up my virtual open house game. But, you know, I expect that we'll continue to adapt. I mean, those of us that want to maintain a path of success and being able to help clients are going to need to find a way to adjust even as we enter new phases.
Absolutely. I think that's one of the huge benefits in this is there's just all these new phases and these new technologies and these new things that you're getting adjusted and embraced to, which is going to help us to be better business owners all around. So I love that, Gina. Pia, what about for you? What do you see when things are getting back to a new norm in your line of work?
So we have several different industries that we support. One of them is the restaurant industry. And, you know, one of our biggest clients has 10 locations and they've had to close and now they're rolling into phase two. So it's been really hard to see them struggle and pay their staff. And so, like, for instance, I just comped them a free photo shoot just to go out and, like, take pictures of the food and their dining experience, like, to-go food. But other than that, all of our businesses are they're getting up to speed really fast because they're seeing the value of digital marketing, of really, you know, getting a great email campaign going, building their list, you know, going back to things that we thought were no longer viable forms of marketing. And now they are. So webinars, what we're doing here today, podcasting, which I know you're super supportive of. So those things aren't new. They're just more urgent now. So, you know, just trying to keep my clients from feeling overwhelmed, because with those opportunities come a lot of feeling of overwhelm because there's an urgency. So, yeah, so this is the new norm, I think. It's not going to slow down for a while.
Pia, good for you for giving back to especially restaurants. I mean, those are some of the worst stories that I've heard. Somebody said a stat the other day, like a restaurant can make like $1.25 million and net like $150,000. So, I mean, it's a struggle. They're always in the black until the end of the month when they're finally making a profit. And a lot of restaurants have shut down. So that's really great of you to give back to them and to help out in that capacity. I know a lot of families are affected. Gina, we're going to come back to you in the panel conversation. I know we've all had to adapt and learn new skills. I was curious to know kind of what new skills have you taken on since this whole COVID action here?
Well, I don't know if I've mastered any of them per se. I mean, I think I've definitely gotten better at guiding people through FaceTime tours, right? Because some buyers, at least initially, were very reluctant to enter someone else's home. So that I feel like I've been able to bone up on. I'm still struggling with Zoom. I'm getting a little bit better. But, you know, that's become sort of a standard part of our playbook as we now engage with new clients, because we're sort of prohibited from, at least initially, from having any in-person meetings. So getting more comfortable in that space of initiating and maintaining a human connection through technology has been sort of a new skill. But, you know, the other thing really that this pandemic has, not that it's taught me, but it's helped me develop a deeper appreciation for, and it's not necessarily a skill as it is kind of a mindset or an emotion, but it's empathy, right? I mean, Pia and I both spoke briefly in the intro about how blessed and grateful we are to continue to be successful in our business despite what's happening now. And there are other people for whom this is really, really tough. And just, you know, taking a moment and holding that space for them, I think is important. And you know, nothing like a pandemic to remind you of those more important things in life, frankly.
Yeah, true. And I wanted to go back to what Pia said in regards with the restaurants, because I think something else to consider when people are transitioning back to a new norm, that if you're in that type of industry, your new norm, you don't even know what it's going to be and what you're going to have to spend to get back in that New York norm. You're listening to the contractors and the conversations that they're having and how are they going to redesign restaurants for social distancing requirements and things that are going to be coming up. So yeah, it's just such an interesting dynamic. So, Pia, what are you feeling as far as a challenge that you've had during COVID-19, and something that you've overcome because of it? So, a challenge that you faced, and how did you overcome it?
Can I talk about two?
Yes, go right ahead.
Well, one of them is directly thanks to you, because I joined your One Time Your Business 8-week program, and it's inspired me out of necessity, right? Because like I said, I haven't come up for breath since March 23rd when everything closed down, because my clients haven't come up for breath. So they're relying on me to be highly organized, be there for them, you know, whether it's text messages or phone calls, and it's overwhelming. So I've been trying to learn more about automation. I mean, I've done automation, but like really master it. And hopefully with your help, you can, we can overcome it together. Personally, I have, it's been challenging because I'm a hugger. I'm extroverted. I'm kind of that person that's like, hey, it's Tuesday, let's go for happy hour, or let's go take a cooking class, or I'm constantly looking to interact with people. So what I did was I joined a networking group that is part of GBSA. So for LGBTQ businesses, they were looking for more LGBTQ friendly vendors. And I'm like, hello, my son is transgender and I'm supporting this community in Seattle. I had so much fun. I didn't know anyone on the Zoom call, and there were 25 of us, and I was one of the guests, and just reaching out to a whole new group of type of people. And like, you know, it wasn't BNI, it wasn't the chamber, it was just a whole new audience, and just really made some great connections. So that was pretty exciting.
Yeah, wonderful. And that was such a great thing with these, with a forced environment where challenges are guaranteed to come up is, you know, I believe since you're in the middle of my coaching class, you know this, that with every challenge is an opportunity. The bigger the challenge, the bigger the opportunity. Mm-hmm. And unless you create that mindset for yourself, people look at challenges as a bad thing, and it really isn't. And so it's really fun to see all of the challenges that are coming out of this, forced or not, that people are making changes, and it's going to serve them at a high level. It's going to serve their clients at a high level, and it's going to be able to serve their family and contributing to their community as well. So I love it. All right. Well, as we're wrapping up here with our first segment, coming up next on the Money Hour, buying and selling real estate in the time of COVID-19. What you need to know, Gina Madea with Windermere, right here at 11:50 a.m. KKNW.
Is one of your personal goals to achieve the dream of home ownership, but not sure how to navigate our dynamic real estate market? Let Gina Madea with Windermere help you make those dreams come true. As a top producing real estate agent, she has the experience and know-how to help you navigate the complex Seattle and Eastside real estate market with clarity and confidence. As a former athlete, Gina puts her competitive nature to work for you to help craft a winning offer strategy to land the home of your dreams or achieve maximum exposure and top dollar for your listing. With homeownership being the most powerful driver of wealth accumulation at both a personal and community level, you owe it to yourself to work with a trusted advisor with proven skills. So let Gina Madea and Windermere, the top brokerage in the Pacific Northwest, help make your real estate dreams come true.
For proven results with a trusted advisor, give Gina Madea a call at 425-495-0926. Or go online to GinaMadea.com. GinaMadea. GinaMadea.com.
You're listening to The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, and co-host, Keelan Harvey, on Alternative Talk AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage experts, Tina Mitchell and Keelan Harvey.
You are listening to The Money Hour at 1150 AM KKNW, Friday, June 5th virtual show. Because of COVID-19, our show has temporarily moved virtual. You can also listen to our show on podcast or catch us on air on Saturday at 3 p.m. with a rebroadcast on Sunday at 8 a.m. I am your host, Tina Mitchell.
And I am your co-host, Keelan Harvey.
We are here to help you build a strong financial blueprint one week and one show at a time. If you're hearing a show at a different time of day, you are listening to a rebroadcast, but we're here to connect you with the guests that we have on the show. You can call the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. And in studio, we have Gina Madea with Windermere, buying and selling real estate in the time of COVID-19, what you need to know. Again, right here at 1150 AM KKNW. Gina, welcome back to the show, and thanks for being here. And also, I'm doing in the spirit of one time, I think this is our fourth or fifth virtual Facebook show. So it's a new platform. But I just realized today, as we're going through our panel conversation, because we had a last minute cancellation, which normally we don't, but we've had a couple of those on our virtual shows. I think it's just a different dynamic. I should have actually done your bio at that time so people would know who you are and what you do, as we had that great conversation with you, but we'll get to your bio in a second. So Gina, thank you so much for coming back.
Yeah, great to be here.
And a little bit about Gina. Real estate transactions can be challenging and stressful, but Gina's approach is simple. She helps you make informed decisions with clarity and confidence. She'll orient you to the market, educate you on the process, help you find the right home, and craft an offer that honors both your financial capability and risk tolerance. Gina's experience, work ethic, and business acumen professionalism set her apart. At Chase and Microsoft, she was consistently a top performer and participated in Microsoft's exclusive high potential program. Her people and program management skills enable her to balance the human and the process side of real estate to ensure your success. In her second year selling real estate, she achieved nearly $50 million in sales, making her the top producer at her firm locally and number four in the nation. Thanks again, Gina, for being here.
My pleasure.
Gina, what a rock star. Listen to that. That's crazy. Year two, that is not normal at all. So that just goes with the caliber of a human being you are in general. That stuff translates for sure, and a lot of scar tissue behind that. So I give you much respect for your accomplishments there. And
I like that scar tissue. I like that scar tissue.
Yeah, it is. The scar tissue builds up and you get stronger, right?
For sure.
So, you were on the show, I believe, in early 2020, and I know before COVID, it was the strongest market in something like 13 years. And so how has this, what's changed and how has this been affected since we've had this COVID stay-at-home order for you?
Yeah, you're right. I remember when we spoke in January, like after what had been a lackluster 2019, 2020 like started off with a bang, and it was like poised to just blow the socks off any prior years, you know. But then of course came COVID, and we came literally to a screeching halt. And as I mentioned in our panel, initially it was super scary because we were deemed non-essential. We couldn't engage at all in real estate activities. But here's the reality, right? Life drives real estate, and things like babies being born or people getting married or people needing to upsize or relocate, you know, don't take a back seat just because a pandemic is going on. So those real needs were still out there. And I'm grateful to the National Association of Realtors, nationally and locally, we were able to help Governor Inslee understand that. And within a week or less, we were reclassified as essential. And that really opened the floodgates. And so, you know, we're sort of still finding our way in terms of how we conduct our business, but we're back in business.
You know, and actually I'm so happy that you mentioned that, because it seemed like overnight when National Association of Realtors stepped in from one day, and then it seemed like the next night or the next day, very, very maximum, it was a week, all of a sudden you're essential. And so, yeah, it's really great for all of our realtors that are listening to the show. This is the importance of being a realtor and supporting, because what National Association of Realtors does, not only for the real estate professionals, but for the consumers as well, the being protected, because look at all these people that are buying and taking advantage of this market now where they would not have been if you were not considered essential. So yeah, that was a real key and magical to be able to see that being in the industry. So Gino, what types of provisions and protocols were imposed in order to be an essential service?
Yeah, so we had to follow strict guidelines, you know, one of which included that only two people at a time could be in the home, and one of those people had to be me, right? So imagine, you know, a young couple, just for example, wanting to tour a home that they were looking to buy together. And there's a certain experience that goes along with that, right? Where together you sort of, you're in the space and you feel it and you let it speak to you. And we couldn't do that. It was like, well, I'll take John in first and then I'll take Mary in and then we can talk about it outside. So it really changed the dynamic a bit. We also had to be mindful of 6 feet social distancing, wear face masks, gloves, wipe surfaces down afterwards. So it became very clinical versus emotional experience. At the beginning too, photographers weren't allowed to photograph and stagers weren't allowed to stage. So it was sort of a mixed message in terms of, you know, the whole of preparing listing, for example. Even the sign companies couldn't install signs because they couldn't send out the utility stakers to make sure we weren't going to put a sign, you know, and blow up the block. So we, you know, initially it was a little bit haphazard, found our way through. And as we continue to kind of progress through the phases, things are loosening up a bit and it's becoming a little more easy to navigate.
Good for you, Gina, on overcome. I mean, people, we have senses, we have smells, we have, you know, sight. And it's really hard to translate a message of a property through a video. No matter how great the video is, it's just not the same where you can really get that feeling. And you hit the nail on the head as far as being emotional about it, getting in. I know when we put an offer, when I walked into my house, I was like, is it supposed to be like a wedding dress moment where it's like, this is the one? Not that I know what that'd be like, but, you know, my
other half was
probably, I don't know. We'll, no, not happening. But anyway,
let's hope you don't get experience that, Keelan.
No. But my point is, it's hard to translate, and it had to been tough. And this is brand new ground that nobody's forged. When have we been a pandemic before? Like, no, you know, we're forging a whole new ground and a whole new trail. And so it's going to take a little grace and learning there for that. So good for you for staying the course. How did you feel like when that was all taking place? How did it affect your buyers and your sellers' behavior specifically?
Oh, good question. And definitely it impacted them for sure. So like one example is right before the stay-at-home order, I was working with a seller and we had literally just listed their home. And at the time we were still able to do in-person open houses, but I still remember having literally like a Costco size bottle of hand sanitizer for guests to wipe, you know, to use when they came in. I was wiping down all the surfaces after it was over. And just fortunately we got under contract rather quickly because right after that, you know, the stay-at-home order was in place and people weren't allowed to do open houses, right? But more broadly, in the wake of the stay-at-home order, I saw a lot of other potential sellers completely hit the pause button. I think for them, it just didn't make sense to allow people into their home, especially early on when we, you know, we still understand that it's a pretty serious disease. But I think especially early on, people were super paranoid and that makes a lot of sense, right? So it just didn't make sense for them to list, even though we're entering the time in the market where it's peak season, right? The buyers are out, the weather's nice, the blooms are blooming, and it's just sort of perfect. But a lot of sellers did hit the pause button and are still kind of waiting to see how we continue to progress before deciding to list or not. I said earlier that life drives real estate. And so even on the heels of a lot of that seller behavior, I did have another seller contact me who for their own reasons did need to sell. And so that was interesting, trying to do all of the stuff I do to prepare a listing. We had landscapers and handymen and power washers and stagers and photographers. And within like 8 days, we got that home listed. Theirs was owner occupied. So they made the decision to rent a place for their first week on market, which was wise because we ended up having 20 showings in the first weekend and then, you know, an offer, within 5 days. But I think for owner-occupied homes, it's particularly challenging. Vacant homes, I think, have a little bit easier of a time. But life drives real estate, and if sellers need to sell, the market's
not. And it was just so surprising because I thought it would completely be shut down, even though it was considered essential, because it's like, who's going to be selling their home in this market and who's going to be buying their home in the market? And boy, was I wrong. Every single contract that has came over to our desk has multiple offers, higher over asking price. We have, you know, I have 16 purchases right now that are still in process to close. It is like, it's crazy. So Gina, that's a great conversation around what's happening with your sellers. What is happening with your buyers during COVID?
Well, again, initially, it was a somewhat similar story with my buyers. They hit the pause button. I think many of them were just sort of wanting to see if the economic challenges would impact them personally. I think they also were worried about potential exposure during the touring process. And then, you know, many of them, highly analytical audience that I tend to deal with, were concerned about how this would play out long term as far as impact on housing values, right? And whether it was going to push us towards another housing crash. But as you know, right, this was a health crisis, not a housing crisis. And I don't see that happening. And I think people are starting to come around. You know, there are still buyers who very much need the stability of home ownership. They have good paying jobs. They plan on growing roots here. And with the interest rates being as low as they are, it's a really compelling time to pursue that. So buyers are coming back. And as you mentioned, we're seeing multiple offers in many cases.
Yeah, I think Gina, as a human being, naturally, it's a fight or flight response, right? And everybody's going to kind of react differently. And it's very specific to that individual, and especially the employment and the issues with that. And nobody knows what that'd be around. But we have a lot of tech in Seattle. I mean, geography, it comes at a premium based on surrounded by water. So, you know, for me, I wouldn't say this directly pushed me to move to Monroe, but I'm not going to lie. There was a moment there where it's like, I kind of want to get out of the city. And I was kind of sold on having that kind of suburban lifestyle out there for my daughter, especially. So we only have a minute left, but my last question is, are people similar to me? Have you seen that buyers right now have decided to make choices, different choices on where they want to purchase a home?
Absolutely. Part of it is because they want more room to spread out. I've seen buyers completely change their search criteria. And because COVID has now proven the case that people can be equally, if not more productive by working at home, folks who were challenged by affordability close into the environs of their workspace are now actually seeking to go out to Monroe, up to Lake Stevens, down to Maple Valley to get that space, but also the ability to afford a home, but not have to worry about a horrible commute because they can negotiate to work from home several, if not, you know, every day of the week. And I'm definitely seeing that. And that's good news.
Yeah, that is definitely good news. And that's going to be part of the new norm, is a lot of people doing that working from home. And it's going to open up, just like you said, in the space of real estate for them to be able to get in and not have that affordability challenge. Gina, thank you so much again for being here. It's always a pleasure to have you in studio, or in this case, here virtually on our virtual show. Really appreciate it. All right, coming up next on the Money Hour, what your website needs now to attract and convert business. Pia Larson of Fingerprint Marketing, right here at 1150 AM, KKNW.
Are you a small business owner or CMO that's overwhelmed with all the ways to market your business that actually result in qualified leads? Do you struggle to come up with a strong brand message, positioning statement, or content that speaks directly to your perfect prospect? When someone Googles your business, are you found on page 2 or 3, which means no one is calling or coming to your website? Pia Larson with Fingerprint Marketing is your chief imagination officer to help you combine business strategy, brand messaging, SEO best practices, and beautiful web design that result in a strong online presence that will make all prospects stop their scroll and ask to do business with you. We have a highly vetted team of experts who will take you from beautiful brand to steady stream of leads and a full pipeline of business. You'll only have 7 seconds to capture your prospect's attention online in a world of noise. Do you know what to do to stand out and compete for attention and market share? Let us help you create a unique fingerprint online while walking you through a proven step-by-step process of what's working online in digital marketing.
To maximize your online presence, reach out to Pia Larson at fingerprintmarketing.com.
You're listening to The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, and co-host, Keelan Harvey, on Alternative Talk AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage experts, Tina Mitchell and Keelan Harvey.
You are listening to The Money Hour at 1150 AM KKNW, our Friday, June 5th virtual show. Because of COVID-19, our show is temporarily moved virtually, but you can still catch us on air Saturday at 3 p.m. with a rebroadcast on Sunday at 8 a.m. And you can also catch us on podcast. I am your host, Tina Mitchell.
And I'm your co-host, Keelan Harvey.
We bring in studio each week the best of the best experts in our local market on everything regarding your money. We're here to help you support you in today's economy. And now in studio, we have Pia Larson of Fingerprint Marketing, what your website needs now to attract and convert business, right here on 1150 AM KKNW. Pia, welcome. First time on our virtual show and first time on the Money Hour at all. Wonderful. So thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited. Let's get into it.
Yay. All right. A little bit before about Pia. So you know a little bit about her. Pia brings over 25 years of marketing expertise to Fingerprint Marketing, her third successful small business. She designed this full service marketing agency to help small business owners crush their competition through beautiful design, smart branding, and strategic digital marketing. As a self-proclaimed marketing crash test dummy, Pia knows both the pain and the triumph that entrepreneurs experience, and how marketing can be the missing element between a full-on failure or a fantastic fortune. Collectively, Pia's team offers over 150 years of experience to their clients, most of whom have doubled their business by partnering with Fingerprint Marketing. That's why you want to listen to Pia.
Pia, so I could imagine right now marketing is more important than ever to really bring those numbers through and customers to your business. So I'd love to start out with just Google itself. Everybody's curious on how do we get higher in our Google search, preferably right at the top, boom, center right there. How do we do that?
Wow. If I had a crystal ball, there's so much involved. So there's really two types. There's local search, and then there's more expanded, like if you're in the United States or global. So we focus on local because it's the lowest hanging fruit, right? When you think about yourself as a consumer, which is what I encourage all my small business owners to do, put yourself in your consumer shoes and say, what are you searching for? What is your problem? How do you think you can find the solution? So really quick, just make sure that all your directory listings are up to date. Claim your business.google.com directory listing. I can't tell you how many people have it, and it is a gold mine. One of our clients just put one up and optimized it, and literally the phone is ringing off the hook. It was such an easy task to do. The other thing is content. So I know that everyone's like, oh, I got to blog or I got to write. And it's really not just something else you have to do, but it's a mindset. I follow the They Ask You Answer formula, which is by Marcus Sheridan, and it's brilliant. Basically, people are searching for answers. That's why they're on YouTube. That's why they're, doing their own due diligence. And we're smarter consumers more than any other time at all. So if you are the first one there as a leader and authority answering the questions before they even ask them, you are going to do much better than your competitors. So, and again, mobile ready website, making sure that you have a secure HTTPS on your website. So all of these little things that really don't take a lot of time, but can make a huge difference.
Yeah, such great advice, Pia. And, I always look at everything that I do, whether it's for the radio show, if it's for my mortgage minutes that I do with real estate companies that I work with, if I'm communicating in one of my presentations or a coaching platform, it's the same information that you can use for multiple platforms. So you're already talking about your business, or you should be, at a very high level. And so you just repurpose the things that you're already using. And I like to follow a formula when putting things out there is, what's the problem your audience has? And what is what is your solution for that problem? And giving them a call to action. And, so I think it's a really great formula and platform to use. So let's talk about, Pia, why people, we've talked about, the Google Business Directory listing and how important, and let's talk about, why is it so important and how is it actually helping them generate more leads?
Specifically for Google My Business, because mm-hmm. people are using it as a social media platform, not in the sense that you're used to, but if you start thinking about it as a social media platform, because when people do search, those are actually the listings and search results that come up first. So adding photos, adding video, you can actually post daily on it. So you can repurpose blog posts, you can put up specials, you can sell gift cards. There's numerous things that you can do on the platform. And when you think about how do I search, well, the search results that come up for me are going to be the highest in where I'm searching from. So whether that's at work or at home, so if I'm searching for a restaurant near me, if Wildfin or Flatiron or wherever, they have a really strong Google My Business presence, they're going to be at the top. Even though there's 250 restaurants that could possibly come up on my search just in this area, if they are optimizing their directory listing, they get preference.
That's interesting, Pia. So let's change gears here. So we got our Google optimized and we're getting traffic to our site, but we're just not seeing that turnaround. Our phone's not ringing and nobody's setting appointments. What's our next step? What would you suggest for people?
So if you think of it in phases, right, it's awareness. So how do you get people to be aware of your business or brand? And then it's driving them with calls to action and to your website. And then it's converting them. So when I talk to my clients, I try to explain to them that just imagine it's midnight and you are on Google and you've got, let's say, 50 tabs open. And I know you all have those. And you just need your answer now, right? And you get to this website that you've come across, you're researching anything, and you go, holy smokes, that's the business I want to do business with. So that visceral feeling and emotion that you get when you're doing your research, and it just makes you stop, whether it's the copy, whether it's a pretty picture, whether it's their call to action, whether it's their voice, whatever it is, you are stopping them in their tracks and you are gaining attention, which is gold right now, attention, because we, especially during COVID, I don't know about you guys, but my inbox is flooded and there are more choices now than ever, and more people are online more than ever. So it's really important. So you were asking about, you know, you get the traffic, but why are they not converting? A couple things, maybe they can't find or see your call to action, which I call your money maker. So that is schedule an appointment, call now. It's the one thing that you want on every single page on your website. You want it to be in a different color than your brand colors to stand out. And you want it to be consistent, header, footer, and then throughout the pages. The other thing is to make it easy. Do you have a phone number? Do you have live chat? Do you have a way? Because no one wants to fill out a form anymore and wait for you to email them. No one, they're not waiting for that anymore. So are there other options? Can they reach out to you in Messenger? Can they, you know, just being creative, because we're impatient. We want answers now. And I don't care if your business hours are after hours, right?
Yeah, and that's really key. And so I think you have to make a decision for your business and what type of business you want, whether it's a business strictly on building relationships where you don't have that high demand, or you're building your business through colder business that's coming in through different platforms. And it's great business, but you have to know what the expectation of that business is going to be in order to be able to convert that business and not to miss the opportunity, because they don't know who you are. They're just seeing you. And if you're not able to be available to them quickly, they're going to forget about you when you call them back. Another thing that I think you can do in that, if you're targeting that type of business and really taking advantage of bringing stuff on online where there's such huge opportunity, and I think a lot of missed opportunity just for some of the things that you just talked about, Pia, is hire a dialer, hire somebody on your team. Mm-hmm. It's a low income producing, you can pay them well on comp, you know, so that anything that comes in, they're making money. Because as a business owner, you're not going to sit there and be at the beck and call of these colder leads, but bring right. somebody on your team and maximize that business, because it's a huge missed opportunity, and majority of people are not going to convert and do what they need to do, which makes it more opportunity for those that strategically set their team accordingly. So love that, Pia. So let's talk about, what are some simple ways to stand out amongst the sea of seamlessness on the website? I love how your words, just reading your bio, you are very dynamic in how you use your words. Obviously, you help people attract business online. Mm-hmm. I love the money maker as the call to action. So how else can you help around, you know, some simple ways there?
Gosh, do we have a couple hours? I have so many ideas, but I'm just going to spitball here. Video. I would put video at the top. So whether that's live video, whether that's pre-recorded, and it doesn't have to be a big production. It can just, you know, we have brilliant video cameras in our hands every day. And it depends on you. If you're going to do something that is consistent, you do it exactly how you want to do it. And you can even have a team do it. You can do screencasts where you're not even on there. You're just showing someone how to do something. So definitely video. And what I love about video too is what you're doing. You turn video into other micro content. So podcast content. You could create like graphics and quotes, and you know, there's just no limit to it. You could have it translated. It's brilliant. What else? Just finding your voice. So this is not just for solopreneurs. This is for small, medium businesses. So not just one voice, but what's the general feel? It's kind of like Simon Sinek, your why. Why are we doing this? Like, why are you all that in a bag of chips, right? Why should I give you my attention? So really having a strong positioning statement, you know, and in order to do that, you have to really keep on top of your competitors. I don't know how many small businesses, they just kind of, they're so in their business and they don't look up. But Google yourself, Google your competitors. They're not staying the same. In fact, I do it every week because I know that, especially during COVID, all of the other agencies are upping their game. And I'm not doing this so I can copy them. I'm doing it because I want to stay ahead of the game and cutting edge. And it actually excites me. It keeps me fresh, right? So I'm not sitting back going, oh, I got it, right? What else? Let's see. Just making sure that you have someone maybe outside of your business who is giving you some honest feedback, whether that's a family member,
yeah,
colleague. You know, you do that in your program, Tina. You say, hey, if you see something that could be done better, please let me know. That's powerful because yeah, we all want to be helpful. We all want to be helpful. And we hope that as small business owners that we help each other. I'm in a huge international agency mastermind. And we don't see competition. There's enough business for everyone. So that, again, it's all mindset.
Yeah, so true, Pia. Well, it's time to wrap up our show. I want to thank both of you for being here and joining Keelan and I, and look forward to having you back soon.
Thank you.
And this is your host, Tina Mitchell, local mortgage expert, signing off for the day. And I forgot I left you out, Keelan. I had my my dialogue already because you left me last week all by myself. So I was doing my closing as if my co-host was gone.
I threw you off your groove. It's my fault. But I'm your co-host, Keelan Harvey. There we go. Out of the way.
So awesome. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. We look forward to talking more money next weekend right here on 1150 AM KKNW.
Tina Mitchell, MLO 145420, and Keelan Harvey, MLO 1330075, are licensed loan originators with Highlands Residential Mortgage Limited, NMLS 134871. The views expressed by the speakers on the preceding program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views of Highlands Residential Mortgage Limited, nor are they necessarily endorsed by Highlands Residential Mortgage Limited.